Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift during the Easter season, we'll send you a CD of an Easter and Ascension sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between Easter Sunday and Ascension Day, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Easter and Ascension sermons. Come on, brother, come on, you don't fight fair. That's okay, see if I care. Knock me down, it's all in vain. I get right back on my feet again. Hit me with your best shot. Why don't you hit me with your best shot?
We're going to spend a few minutes here of Issues Etc., going through the Issues Etc. comment line. This is a comment line we leave open for you 24/7 all year round, all night, all day. It's just sitting there waiting for your questions, your comments, your criticism. We especially like the criticism. Your show suggestions, just about anything you want to say. If you can say it in 3 minutes, I think that's the time limit. We invite you to do so on the Issues Etc. comment line. The number 618-223-8384. 618-223-8384. Let's begin with a comment about a recent show on the Lord's Prayer.
So, you guys, I am a Lutheran pastor, Wollenberg. I'm usually an on-demand listener. I've had to spend 2 days in the car, so I'm getting caught up again. I'm listening to the program now with Deaconess Pam Nielsen about the Lord teaches us how to pray. Someday I want to title a sermon, How to Get God to Give You What You Want. And then I'm going to stand up for the sermon, read the title, and then sit back down and continue with the liturgy. We are not in control of making God do anything. Christians pray because that's what Christians do. Thanks to Jesus for giving us the gift of prayer. Just thought I'd mention it.
And thank you for the comment. Well, yes, the people talk about the power of prayer, don't they? And prayer itself has no power. If you focus on the power of prayer itself, prayer per se, you're going to spend a lot of time kind of like Linus out there in the pumpkin patch, trying to be as sincere as you can possibly be. Trying to couch your pleas, your requests in exactly the right language. Phrase it just so. Make sure that you include everything. Because if it depends on you and your sincerity or how often you pray or how earnestly you pray, if you invest your faith in the power of your prayer, well, you're kind of doing exactly the opposite of what Christian prayer is. Jesus has some condemnation for this kind of prayer. People who pray because, and they think they are heard because of their many words. Another way of talking about focusing on the power of prayer itself. The power is in the one to whom you pray. True Christian prayer is not bringing just the right request, sprinkled with sincerity, and God, can't you see that I really, really need this, earnestness. Christian prayer is coming before God knowing you deserve nothing. Who am I that he should listen to me? Who am I that he should entertain any request I have? Who am I that he shouldn't just snuff me out of existence because I have offended with my sin? And yet he hears my prayer solely for Christ's sake, only because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. That's what it means, by the way, to pray in Jesus' name. And when we think prayer is a way of manipulating God, pushing his buttons just right, like a candy machine, so that the candy bar falls out, the one that we want, we've misunderstood God. That is not the kind of prayer that God hears or answers. That's pagan prayer. Pagans pray thinking they can manipulate God with their sincerity, with the right words, you name it. Christians pray knowing they deserve nothing, and yet, for Christ's sake, are likely to receive everything. And we pray according to God's promises. That is, what he's promised to give us, we pray. I like the way that the commenter put it. Christians pray because that's what Christians do. It is, Dr. Nagel, we had a little conversation with Dr. Nagel earlier today that we'll be playing a little bit later in the week. And he's so right when he said, for so many years he said this, that prayer is nothing than other than the voice of faith. God breathes his word into us, and then when the Christian exhales, what comes out? Prayer. Seeking things from God solely for Christ's sake.
This is Gail Lidstrom from Minneapolis, Minnesota. I'm calling because I happened to look on the website for LCMS and found that there was a woman's conference, leadership conference in Wisconsin that people had gone to. And in the comment that was there was that women in the LCMS can serve to read scripture during worship services, and they can serve as presidents of their congregation. Well, I'm kind of aware of this president of the congregation, but where does the LCMS permit women to read scripture during a worship service? For that matter, even a man who is not the pastor. My understanding is that the pastor brings the word and the sacraments to the congregation in the place of Christ. Anyway, I thought maybe we could have a program on this and see what is going on. It was concerning me that we showed up on the reporter as, wow, this is what went on. So, anyway, the reference was from LCMS, Women Discuss Leadership at a WLI conference. Thank you. Bye.
And thank you for the comment. By the way, LCMS stands for Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. It's the second largest Lutheran denomination in the United States, generally known as the more conservative of the Lutheran denominations, if you're comparing it with the largest, that is the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Now, brace yourself. This is going to sound quaint. It's going to sound chauvinistic. It's going to sound sexist. It's going to sound backward. It's going to sound very Victorian, maybe even medieval. She's absolutely right for being concerned about women reading Holy Scripture in public worship. I think I've said it before. If I haven't, I'll say it again, that is a duty given to pastors. Paul explicitly gives this duty to Timothy when he writes to him, "Until I come again, attend the public reading of Scripture." And he's not talking about just standing out on the street corners with a scroll in your hand. He's talking about the Lord's Day, the context of Christians gathered together around Christ's body and blood and his word. He's talking about public worship. And this is something he specifically tells Timothy as pastor of that congregation in Ephesus to attend to. If he wants him to attend to it, he doesn't want him delegating it to someone else. It's an important thing. It is God's word, after all. And of course, along with the public reading of Scripture goes public proclamation of Scripture, preaching, if you will. Now, it's an interesting question she asks. Where does it say that women can do this in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? Nowhere. It's just something that congregations have started doing because it looks, I'll just be honest with you, sometimes it's done out of ignorance and sometimes it's done out of rebellion. Pastors know better. They know that this is something given to the pastor to do. And yet they say, you know, I just feel like tinkering. I just feel like experimenting. I feel like pushing the edge of the envelope. And maybe the way to do that is to kind of shake everybody up by putting a woman up there at the lector's post and have her read the Bible passage this Sunday. And after people have seen it done long enough, it no longer concerns them. But it should. And it is about delegating to anyone what is given to the pastor to do by God's call. Your right to be concerned. Can we turn the clock back on it? Back to a biblical practice? I don't think so, sad to say. We should be able to. It would be nice if we could, but far too many congregations have adopted this practice, some innocently, and I would be very quick to point out again, some under the direction of their pastors who just like to rebel against God's word just a little bit on Sunday morning. Makes them feel good. We'll be right back. Talk about Cyril of Alexandria.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
If you're a pastor or layperson in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we have some timely resources for you. The leadership of the LCMS is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. You'll find show transcripts about these proposed changes and an updated list of questions for President Gerald Kishnick's task force. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Listen on Demand.
LCMS Inc. canceled this? You're listening to Issues Etc.
The future of the pro-life movement is now.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
The Susan B. Anthony List recently congratulated five young women for their service to the pro-life cause. Jill Sanders, recent graduate of Franciscan University, participated in Walks for Life, including one that took her and several friends on a 1,300-mile trek to raise pro-life awareness. Now a producer for EWTN Global Catholic Network, Jill's passion is producing shows with a pro-life emphasis. Jill, along with the other honorees, aren't going to be leaders of the pro-life movement. They are leaders of the pro-life movement.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. For more about our work to mobilize and advance pro-life women in politics, visit our website at sba-list.org.